Founder and the president of Sanction Love Ministries. The purpose of these podcasts is to bring the heartbeat of Jesus' ratifying love to you through the teachings, interviews, current topics, and much more. We plan to cover deep and sensitive topics to create a hunger to know the lover of our souls, who he is in us and who we are in him. So sit back and incline the ear of your heart to the pursuit of the pursuer himself.
No, I really, from the bottom of my heart, she is like a spiritual mom to me and Corey, and her team prayed that this would come to be. Like back when we were still in Oregon, ministering and praying and counseling, right? And just helping us get to the places where we need to be. And so we honor her this morning, and we are excited to hear the word of God this morning. Amen? Amen.
I love you.
You look just like me, Chris. Oh,
no. What did you call Megan, my sometime daughter? Or? Honestly, Dad, well, you're my honestly spiritual son. Amen. Most important moment of the day right there. Hallelujah. We had such a glorious, beautiful time with Jesus this weekend, with the ladies and the other women that came. And I went back to the room last night, and I just wept before the Lord because of thanksgiving, of the faithfulness of our God and the faithfulness of our King to bring unity and healing and restoration. And only God, you know, only God can do this. Hi, Vince. Only God can do a supernatural move like that. And, you know, you can plan, but many are the plans in the heart of a man. But God orders our steps in the midst of whatever. And, you know, women coming together is women coming together. You know, whether you're a man or a woman, we got issues in our tissues. And we come together, and it was in one accord. And last night, it was like God created a surgical unit in the house. And he sovereignly moved, like with power and authority and healing to our toenails. I mean, it was just like, sit back and let the King have his way with his bride. And it was, you know, when you participate with the kingdom of heaven like that, you realize who is God and who is not very quickly. And that's a stewarding that comes through the heart of prayer. Nothing comes except through the heartbeat of a face-to-face, intimate, one-on-one, into me see, come and kiss me, Jesus, and show me things to come. Holy Spirit, the author and the finisher, the way maker, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through the way of Jesus Christ and his name only. And, you know, we come in Sundays, we do life sometimes. We come to women's ministry or men's ministry. We are doing life. And sometimes we have not hunger in our heart. And sometimes we have to force feed ourselves for the stretch of the capacity to hold the presence of the Almighty God when we are not hungry. It's a choice, you know, the hunger and thirst for righteousness, because Jesus always, always, always fed the hungry. He always feeds the hungry. He does not give us a stone when you are asking for bread. And he will make that bread digestible just into your right digestive system where you're at in your growth in the spirit. Some of you might be gluten-free. Some might need a little bit more nut texture for your digestive system. But either way, your palate will taste and see the light of you to hunger and to thirst. And it comes by face-to-face communication, and that it is no longer us trying to pray out our own abilities in our own direction, in our own will, but sitting quietly. For those that wait in the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Those that wait. And sometime training your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotion to learn to wait in the wait. That we don't always have to say, I have to lift up a shout, I have to lift up articulation to the Lord, but could we so learn the expressions of prayer and the expressions of how he would choose to speak to us in the waiting process? And as we wait upon the Lord, knowing that when we're struggling, he's creating a hunger capacity and he's renewing a strength in us. Because it's all in the spirit and it's all not in the natural. And those that are the just, we walk by faith, and it's only faith that pleases God. And you access the kingdom of heaven by faith and not by feelings. And you come in knowing that you're seated at the right hand of the Lord God Almighty, and that you can decree a thing and you can watch it be established. But you might be doing that through the expression of waiting. I did not know. I don't know where this is coming from. Jesus, thank you, Father. There must be somebody that needs to hear this. In the wait, in the waiting, in the secret place, he inhabits the praise of his people. I remember one time I was sitting and the Lord said, I did not come to have a visitation with you. I came to inhabit you. I come for visitation rights to prisoners. But I come to inhabit you as my temple. It's a different position in the waiting. It's a different position in the inhabitation of the praise of a king. That I will extol you at all times, and your praise will ever be on my lips. I exalt your name above all names, all fear, all doubt, all worry, all unbelief, all dismay, all loneliness, all bitterness, all despairing feelings. I will exalt your name, and from that high and lifted place, your train of glory will fill my temple, and from that place I can move and live and have my being. But many are the plans in the heart of a man, but God orders our steps. So how are the steps ordered? But they come from the place of moving and living and having your being in him. They come from place of intimacy and prayer and saturation. They come from face-to-face communication. They come from when there's no other formula on the face of the earth. There's no substitute from the real supply of heaven. We can do Christianity, we can do church, we can do raise our kids, but if we don't invite the one that wrote the love letter to us to sit next down to us every day and say, would you reveal this mystery to me, and it would not be dull, and I don't have to check it off my list that I did today, but that I could have a living word that's living and active to divide between my soul, spirit, bone, and marrow, and have a sword divide between the motives of my heart and reveal the intentions of them. There is no other like him. The greatest, highest pleasure is to serve and honor and love the Lord God Almighty and the Son, Jesus Christ, who paid a price that by his stripes we were healed. The life that we now live, we don't live in the flesh, but we live according to the Word of God. And it is no longer us that lives, but Christ that now lives inside of us. When Commission City Church started a long time, how has it been over a year? A long time, many, many years ago. Seems like in my heart it started many more longer, in your heart it started many years ago. But over a year now, right? January last year. And let's see. Everybody was in different places. Like, I did a Skype teaching from Oregon, and then Megan was leading worship in Eugene, and you guys were here, and we were all on some fancy screen thing, and we could see each other. And somewhat, Danny kind of made us all see each other. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. Anyway, so the Lord gave me a word out of Ezekiel 3 for you guys, a prophetic word. And some of you are new, and I'm just going to touch on that a little bit because I feel like the Lord has that, and you're in that vein. And then I'm going to move into something else that I felt like that he would still continue to say. But basically, it was Ezekiel and the book of Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 23, and that he came to a place, to a plain. And he came to the canal Chebar, and it really was where Nebuchadnezzar was. And that, I'm super condensing the word. It is online. You can go watch it. But I felt like when I gave it, the Lord gave this to me as a prophetic word for this house and really where you guys are going and what you guys are going to be doing. And along the way of your stretch mark growths, you know, when you grow, you can't birth something. I mean, you know, and sometimes you get stretch marks. And they're painful, right, women? the stretch is real. And so in that, not everybody that you get to come in covenant with is going to appreciate the stretch mark on your life. Only the person that you're in covenant with gets to appreciate the stretch mark on your life. And so as you guys are growing and as you guys are increasing and as you guys are participating in the kiss of heaven over your life, then that word was that in vision, you guys were really going to be a church that had many different economic structures, people. You were going to be a canal, and that canal, Nebuchadnezzar, used that to transport people from all types of prosperity, from all types of different types of lives, you know, from poor to rich to broken to secure. It was a freedom passage, really. And I felt like that canal, that transport on that water system was Commission City Church. And that you guys, in the growth, it really was an evangelistic church call on your church. And that you guys were going to be comfortable in upper echelon people, and you were going to be comfortable in the street ministry and treasure hunting. And so as you are participating in this, that he's trusting you with talents. And he's trusting you with the small talents. And if you'd be so brave to spend your talent in this moment. The story of the talents, right? That you didn't hide them and that you stepped out in faith. And you know, you guys know the story. And that it was a trust a trusting from the Father that he's given you this talent so that you can build the canal and the transportation of the many inheritances of the kingdom of God we're passing through this house. And so that was that back at it. That's that in a nutshell. Just the expansion of the authority of the growth and how you steward this and how you stay connected. And the next part is the beginning of Peter's ministry and the end of Peter's ministry that I want to talk about. And I want to talk about how they look similar. They look similar when Jesus met the disciples and he in Luke and in Luke 5. So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of the Lord that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, I think. How do you say that, Gennesaret? And Gennesaret. And saw two boats standing on the lake, and the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. And then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little bit from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets catch for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will put down my net. And when he had done this, they had caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So I think it's interesting that the Lord told them to put down nets, and he put down a net. And that the expectancy of a vision sometimes is way grander than what we have faith for at the very moment. So when he's saying, I have a capacity and I have a vision for you and I have something for you to hold and I have something for you to steward, it's going to take so much. It is going to take so much of your faith. And when you've been fishing all night and all day and you are reaping nothing, and he says, don't just put one thing on the side of your boat. Put everything you've got, everything that's empty, everything that you think you can hold, put it all over. And they are dragging it in, and they are dragging it in. And as they are dragging it in, I find that the nets are breaking. The word there that is in the Greek is schismo. It's our word today for schism. So when they did that, it was a challenge in my spirit for me to say, Linda, where are you not mending your nets and making sure there's not anything in your life that the catch of the day is being lost? Because there was an opportunity for the overflow. There was an opportunity for the abundance. And it says they had so much, and they could have been satisfied for right where they were, right where they at. They could have been satisfied with the catch of the day. But what they left and what harvest of souls got left in the fishing process. Because the measure of faith was not so grand because he said an S on one and a T on another. And you guys are you're Annette's house. You're Annette's house. You are the multiple, the multiplication. You are the loaves and fishes that get multiplied. You have the abundance of heaven anointing on this house. And if you don't think that the enemy's going to try and bring a schism here on a little hole and here on a little hole and cut your vines with debris that's floating in the water, it will happen. You have to be positioned in prayer to say, show me the schisms, Father, that we could mend the net and that we could cast our nets in faith and that we would not allow a hole to lose the abundance of heaven that's being caught today. Where in my life, where is doubt and unbelief? Where, you know, the Israelites, how come they didn't come into the promised land? It was because doubt and unbelief. It was because they just went around and around and around. In the stretch of the catch and the stretch of the new birth and the stretch of carrying a vision and the stretch of carrying new life and the stretch of birthing something that's going to change the world and change a nation in a day. Can the Lord change a nation in a day? There's a stretch. But then the stewarding of the little foxes that spoil the vine, and it's the vine of intimacy. It's always the vine of intimacy that the foxes try to come in and try to steal the spoil the vine. That's why they put fire at the end of the rose on a vineyard. The fire of God will always repel the foxes. So then if you go over to John, and I love this. It was breakfast by the sea, not breakfast at Tiffany's, but breakfast by the sea with Jesus and Peter. But I like breakfast at Tiffany's too. This is the end of the ministry. This is before Jesus. This was the beginning when he met him. Simon, now he's right here. Simon Peter said, verse 3, I'm going fishing. He just gave up. He's like, I'm going back to my trade. Jesus left us. My hope is deferred. I'm just going to go back to what I know, what's comfortable. I'm going back. And he said to them, we are going with you. And they went and immediately got into the boat, and they had caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Where is the other place that the disciples, actually one of them was the uncle of Jesus, were walking, Jesus came alongside of them, and they didn't know it was Jesus on the road to Damascus. And the road to Damascus, the Damascus means lukewarm. And they had come, Jesus read, and they were talking about all the things that Jesus had done, and they had talked about everything that had been happening, and that he died, and how they crucified him. And the Bible says they were very, very, or excuse me, not Damascus, and Emmaus, sorry. They were walking on the road to Emmaus, and they were very, very sad, and it was really one of Jesus' uncle and a disciple, Jesus is gone, and what are we going to do? And so they started going back. They were going back, and it was a lukewarm walk that they started to walk. And Jesus came alongside of them, and they didn't even know who it was. Because their heart and their hope, after walking in the passion for a while and after treading in the journey and seeing the miracles and the signs and the wonders and getting to know the lover of their soul and the one that just created he spoke and darkness fell and the demons came out of people that were possessed and the lame walk and the blind saw and the dead were raised and they saw their lover and the Lord, the author and the finisher of their faith that took them out of the religious life and took him into the newness of life in a land that was living. They saw him crucified and they saw him buried and they're walking on the road to Emmaus and all of a sudden Jesus comes up and it says they didn't even know it was him. Yet it says, didn't our heart burn when he was next to us? Jesus is always pursuing you. He is always coming after you with fire. He's always coming after you with ravenous love that he would overtake you and overshadow you. And when he's like, no, baby, I'm coming back for you. Don't be dismayed. I'll walk on this lukewarm road with you. I'm coming hard after you. And your heart might, your eyes might not know me in this moment by what you see. But let me tell you, your heart will burn by recognition of the fire. And so they're walking along, and so Jesus comes, and they didn't know it was them. They went back to their ways. They'd been serving faithfully. They'd been plowing the ground. They were doing the assignment. They left everything they had. They were leaving everything they owned. They left everything they loved. And they said, I'm leaving it and I'm following the King. And in a moment, they didn't recognize him. And when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. And disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Children, have you any food? He said. And they said, no. They had forgotten what the bread tastes like. And he said, cast your net on the side of the boat and you will find some. And so they cast their net and they were not able to draw it up because the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, we always joke about that, right? Everybody's heard that. It's John. He's the lover. He wrote the book. It is the Lord. The eyes of my understanding, they were opened. And then Simon Peter heard it, and he said to the Lord, and heard that it was the Lord, and he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it. And a lot of commentaries say that he was even possibly naked. He was so stripped down. He had nothing more. No garment of praise. And he plunged into the sea. I mean, the minute he saw Jesus, the minute he heard his voice, the minute he caught his gaze, his hunger and his thirst for what was in the nets, he's like, is that you, Lord? But the other disciples came on the other side of the boat, for the net were far away, but about 200 cubits, and they were dragging the fish. And then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish was already laid out on it and bread. God had already prepared a meal. And Jesus said to them, bring me some of the fish which you have caught. Show me your harvest. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And you study out the word 153, it means overflow. that they brought in the overflow. That there was no breakage in these nets. There was not one lost because they captured the eye of Jesus. And from the beginning of the ministry and all through the walk and all through the story of our lives where we feel we've lost something, where something's been broken, where we had a hole, where something was lost. It's like when I talked about the axe head and when the axe head floated because hope always floats to the top. And the stick that the prophet took wasn't the same stick that they had been beating to build a house for the prophets of the land. He picked another stick, and that stick represents the cross of Jesus Christ thrown into an undefiled water that raised something impossible from the dead and brought it into resurrection life. Only God can make iron heads float. Only God can repair. Only God can catch the harvest. Only God gives us the overflow. But you jump in the river and you keep swimming. You keep swimming and you get your nets ready. You get your nets ready. Commission City Church, there's an overflow of the harvest of the kingdom of God that is at hand in this house. I don't say that to pump you up. I don't say that. But I know that when you start and you birth something, schisms will try to tear your net of harvest and your supply of heaven. And the enemy doesn't want you to succeed. But I'm telling you, get your needle from heaven and get your thread from the garment of praise and start sewing your nets so that there cannot be a schism in this house. In your personal life and in your ministry, you contend for unity. In your personal life and in this house, you seek the face and the breath of Jesus Christ. There can be no other way than intimacy. There is no other way, or you will be like every other church on the corner of every other block. And I don't know, you know, we as a team, we always say the price is a lot, costs you everything. Whether it's in our marriages or our families, God is always has a needle, and he always has the thread. And he knows just the right kind of stitch to make it secure. There's an old Reader Digest article, and it's an article that is about a forest of trees. And it's talking about, really, it's talking about unity. And it's all these different kinds of trees in a forest that are all next to each other. They all look different. They are different kinds of, what is it called? Species. Yeah. And they all have different root systems. But they're in the same forest. And they have found that there is a fungus that grows in the soil. And the fungus literally creates a underground unity. And it has, if you study forestry, apparently under the ground, that you can have all kinds of different species in one forest, and they come together and feed each other water, nutrient, and deliver sunshine under the ground. They support each other in their root system. And it doesn't matter if you're a different species than me. My water would be your water and your water would be my water. And there's a fungus that there's a godly kind of unity that keeps us together. And my sunshine's your sunshine. And my food is your food. And it's you might be different than me. And you might make way more money than me. Or you might have your family life together. I might just be coming out of drugs and alcohol. Or I might be coming off the streets. Or I might just got a divorce, or my children are, and your soil is my soil, and your food is my food, and your sunshine is my sunshine, and there's a unity underground system that is being established with different species in this house for a forest to grow up tall throughout the land so that others would feel safe to come in and say, I found my forest, I found my tribe, I found my species, I found it. And so whoever may come or who may ever may go and whatever they look like and whatever they're coming out of, you can be a hospital for the broken, the ones, I mean, you're going to have the broken ones that have not even barely a thread of their own net, and you're going to have to build it for them. And you'll get your needle for other people. You'll get your thread out of the garment of praise. You'll get it for others that are wounded and broken and weary and heavy laden and with their head down. Oh, why so downcast, oh my soul? And you'll come up and speak to their soul with a word of encouragement. Prophet of the man of God, you will. You'll worship them to victory. So I'm going to have either Megan or Natalie, whoever wants to come and play. I mean, it's so exciting to be in a beginning phase and to guard the unity and the gathering of the brethren and to walk in the holiness of the Lord. It's really a year in the body of Christ of consecration. It's a year of holiness. And I know for us as Sanctioned Love, the Lord told us at the beginning of the year, you're going to have a year of consecration and you're going to fast every Monday. And it is now May, and the work of God that's so beautiful that has come to the top isn't always pretty when dross comes, right? But consecration isn't getting rid of things out of our lives. It's coming unto the Father. So we don't have to say, you need to get this, Olivia. Come on, sister, get that out of your life. We can come and encourage her in the spirit of holiness and love and grace and mercy. Consecration, that God does a work unto holiness, and it prepares the bride for a return without spot and wrinkle. And love always covers the multitude of our sin. It always comes in with mercy that's new every single day. And when there are weapons that are formed against us, we can know that they won't prosper, because we have a unity of someone sowing and sowing with prayer our whole when we can't sow for ourselves. Because you're never going to be perfect. After a lot of use, it's just natural that your net's going to have a tear and you have to have a repair. The tender of the nets is the perfect one to submit your side to say, sew me up as I've stretched out a little bit too far and I have a pain. some harvest in my life. So that's where grace comes in, right? That's where grace comes in. That's the favor of the Almighty. You know, He uses us even when we have had tears. So I'm going to have my team come up, and we're just going to minister to you guys. I'm aware of your time, Pastor. And we're just going to bless you and pray over you and love on you. I feel like there's some places that have been torn. Some places that you felt broken. You've lost some supply out of your harvest field. And so if that's you, as Megan plays, or just lightly seeing worship, Meg, and do you. We're here, so if you want that, thank you.
Amen. I just want to encourage you, let's take a minute. Don't let this moment pass you by. You know, a lot of times we can go to the altar to receive prayer or get ministered to, and it's a nice little prayer that might be, you know, pray. They're here, and they're going to speak a word. They're going to get a hold of the Father, and they're going to speak and proclaim a word over you, maybe you as an individual, or maybe you as a married couple. So let's just, if we could all stand right now. We hear a word, and we got to respond to the word. And so we're just going to worship just for a little bit and come and get some ministry. And so just come, just begin to make your way, and let's worship the Lord.
In the crushing, in the pressing, You are making new eyes. In the soil surrender, You are breaking new ground. In the crushing, in the crushing, in the pressing, You are making new eyes. In the soil now surrender, breaking new ground. So we yield to You and to Your careful hand. When I trust You, I don't need to understand. So make me Your vessel and make me an offering. Make me came here with nothing, but oh. new freedom. The kingdom is here. I lay down my old flames to carry your new fire today. So make me your vessel.
On our website, sanctionlove.com, and all of our social media platforms. We would love you to consider partnering with us in taking the ratifying love around the globe. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.